Several years ago, my dad called me up and he said that he would like to add me to his bank account. So I met with him. We went to the bank. We went through that whole process. He was already 87 at that time, so he had put that off for years. But a short while later, about 3 days later, I think it was, one of my sisters called me and said, "Dad said you stole all his money." And I'm going, "What?" They go, "I know you didn't, but can you think of what happened?" I have no idea. He just had me sign on his account. So my dad, was angry. He was upset. He said, "I'm penniless. All my money's been taken." I didn't get back with him right away because I figured he's pretty upset. I'll wait a few days. And after a couple of days, another sister called me and said, "I asked Dad about this incident. And he said he can't remember." And they got to checking into it. And what he actually did was he changed accounts. He took all of his money and put it into another account. But because he is dealing with some dementia, etc., he had forgotten totally what he'd done. And so because I was on the account and that's what he remembered, he blamed it all on me. And I bring this up just to show what our physical minds can do. Whether it's with dementia or on our daily basis, we make mistakes. We make conclusions that are not correct. And we have to consider on a spiritual level, we can make mistakes as well, that we forget things that God tells us to do. Or we might change our mind when he says, "Live by this law," and we start to do that. We might think after a while, "No, we don't need to do that." Well, let's begin today in the book of Philippians, chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Because Paul shares here what God's goal is for us. And we all have different ideas. The ideas that go through our minds are endless. But we all want a positive future. And God is asking us to prepare for that. Notice what we're told here in Philippians 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So this should be our focus in life. As Christians called to this way, God is inviting us to have that mindset. And we need to contemplate how that is possible. Because if we don't put on that mind, we will not be ready for the kingdom of God. And that's what we're given time for. That's why we have life, to get ready for that. Let's go back to verse 1 and read a few verses here in Philippians chapter 2, because it all wraps together to what Paul wrote here in verse 5 about having the mind of Christ. So verse 1 here in Philippians 2, Paul says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation," or if there's any encouragement in Christ, "if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded." So there's that term again, having that mind, and for all of us to be on the same page, so to speak. "To be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." So brethren, this whole concept of mind is so important to God, and he inspired Paul to write about that. He goes on to say, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." So we have to think about this, to consider what is our mindset. Are we lowly? Are we humble in that sense? Or are we being worldly and thinking highly of ourselves? Verse 4, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." So when it says like-minded, this isn't saying that we all are yellow pencils, that we all do the same thing, we all eat the same food, we all have the same hobbies. No, we're talking about like-minded in the sense of the qualities of God and the character of God, that he wants us to grow in that and be similar to how Jesus Christ was, to imitate him, as we're told. Verse 7, as we read a little more in this chapter, it's talking about Christ here. "He himself made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself." So see how he was lowly in mind, even as the Son of God? "He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name." So here's a tremendous example that we're given through the life of Christ, to see how he lived on this earth and how he was willing to serve others, even with his previous existence and how great of a position that was. He was willing to let go of that to serve us, and we should remember that. We need to have the mind of Christ. In other words, think about what Christ did for us. He laid down his life. Are we willing to do that? And sometimes we have to wonder, because even our very mates or our families, we're not willing to always help out and love as we should. And if we can't do that, how are we going to lay down our life for others, which is what we've been asked to do? Going down to verse 12, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." And so here's a key statement here. "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Do we do this? Are we literally working at the gift that God has offered us, the gift of salvation? Are we working at that? Are we making an effort? And it tells us how, the attitude, with fear and trembling. Do we have that deep awe, that respect for God? Continuing in verse 13, it says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without faith, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." And as we look at the world around us, we see how messed up it is. And God is inviting us to be different than that, you know, to literally shine forth. So as we think about that, you know, God is light. And so we know any shining we do is not of ourselves. We have no potential of light on our own. It's God shining through us, for he is light. So we need God working in us. Verse 16, "Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." So Paul simply encouraging the brethren, just as we do today, to continue to grow, to work out our salvation, to be those lights that God has invited us to become. Skipping down to verse 19, Paul says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state." And he says in verse 20, "For I have no one like-minded." So we've been talking about the mind of Christ and how we should be. And Paul is stating this. He has no one like-minded. I mean, isn't that sad? And we can get into that condition today. He says, "No one like-minded who would sincerely care for your state." And so we have to be careful that we are growing as a church today with the mind of Christ. Verse 21, "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." And so as we live in a world that continually pulls at us, that invites us to go an easier path, God is encouraging us through the words of Paul here to not seek our own, but to really think about how we're living. Because the first part of verse 22, "But you know his proven character." So thankfully, Timothy would be willing to help Paul and serve him, but so many probably had abandoned him or weren't willing to help out. And today, we live in perilous times. They're not too bad yet, but they're getting worse day by day, and we need to think about whether we're growing in this. If we are seeking our own desires, if we're not getting along, you know, we need to grow in this. That's not the mind of Christ. And we're asked to work out our salvation. And if we don't, we will not be ready. So today, my title is Preparing Our Heart and Mind. And we've read a little bit about the type of mind that we should have, that we should be working towards. And I think the point here is, whether it was back in Paul's day or any time in between or now, that we have to do this now. While we still have life, while we still have opportunity, we have to really work at overcoming. And many of us over the years have been slow to overcome. We've been slow to use God's help. I mean, that's typical of humans, to really resist God and fight that. Even once we've committed to his way, we have our setbacks. And so we really need to think about whether we're developing at the pace that God would want us to at this time. If we don't use our time, as we should, we will deeply regret it. And God is inviting us to think about that. He gives us warnings throughout the scriptures. We're told the kingdom of God is at hand. We're told that it's near. We're told to wake up. We're told to watch. All these warnings are for us, for this time and any other time that Christians have lived. And so in 4 weeks, the fall festivals start. And if you think about the meaning of those feast days that God has given to us to observe and to walk through and to remember what they mean and what we look forward to, the kingdom and the removal of Satan and all the changes that are coming. And so we know God is fully prepared for his plan to play out. There's nothing that will be surprising to him. The question is, are we getting ready? Are we looking forward to all that is going to happen? Will we have our Father's ways written in our hearts? Will we have his laws written in our minds? Let's begin today in Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. We're very familiar with the scripture. And here Jesus Christ reminds us how much effort that we need to put into our relationship with him as well as with others. And in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." So do we do that? "With all your soul and with all your mind." So we see that the heart and the mind are closely tied together. They're mentioned here as two separate items. And a lot of times we might look at these as synonymous, but let me give you a couple definitions from Webster's Dictionary. Of course, they offer multiple definitions for each of these words. I'll just single out one or two for each of this. The word heart, one definition is one's innermost character, or their feelings, or their inclinations. And so when God said of David, he's a man after my own heart. In other words, he's a man after my character. This is what the word heart can refer to here in the Bible. Now, looking at the word mind, one definition is it's a memory or a recollection. So when we say, hey, I'll keep that in mind, it's just saying, I'm going to keep that in my memory bank. I'm going to be able to pull that out later and remember that. A second definition of mind is the element in us that thinks, perceives, or reasons. So that's what our minds do. Besides remembering things, we also bring all that forward to make decisions on how to move forward in life. And so we have to consider the differences here between heart and mind, one being the character, as God talks about the heart in here, and the other being the decisions we make, and these two tie hand in hand. And I'll just mention, for example, as we go to the feast, and I think back of the many friends, classmates, etc., family members that once attended the feast with me, that we spent time together. And so they have that memory. They have that mindset to remember and recollect of keeping the feast. I have relatives that mention how, like, oh, remember the feast back 20, 30 years ago? We went here and had a great time. But in their hearts, they're not inclined to still keep the feast. And so that's a heart condition. That character, they have decided not to continue to do that. Now, I'm not putting anyone down. I'm just saying this is how our heart and mind needs to work together to not only remember something, but then to keep doing it. And to build that character. And God wants us to apply both aspects, as he tells us in Scripture, not to just be hearers, but to be doers as well. So the two work hand in hand. Now let's go to Psalm 26 and verse 2 as we look a little more at the heart and mind that God is asking us to prepare. Psalm 26 and verse 2. Brethren, I think we'd all agree, it can be hard for us to admit when we let down. You know, as humans, we don't want to tell anybody that, even God sometimes. And so here's an example of how we need to reach out to God, because we all sin. We all make mistakes. Let's notice here, Psalm 26, verse 2, it says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart." So the word examine means to test. Now, test me, God. Try me. Or investigate me, look into my life and see where I'm going wrong, because we cannot always see that. And so King David is asking God to investigate him in both areas, not only his mind, but his heart as well. And so it's good to remember God's laws and to understand them properly, But we establish good character by doing them. So it's more than just a mindset, a memory of that. It's about walking forward and using the character to do that. Now, God knows how weak we are. He created us. He made our minds. He gave us our body and our tendencies. And there's a lot written in the Bible about our minds and hearts. I'll just refer to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. It says there, "Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So way back then, I mean, way back in time, you know, when the first humans were on earth and multiplying, they already had an evil heart. And we think about how man is no different today. We look at the crime that is out there, the pollution, the corruption. It's evident that man of his own does not know how to go forward in life, because we're headed towards extinction, as God says. When you think of the hatred and the chaos and the wars that are happening and to come, I'll just refer to Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Most of us are very familiar with it. There the prophet says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" God knows it, and we should too, because he's told us we should believe that. But he goes on to say, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind," he says. So are we allowing God to do that in us? Because he will judge us for what we do. The decisions we make with the mind and the heart, he will judge us. And so it's easy to forget that God is searching our hearts at this time, that he will judge us for everything we do, for the decisions we make, both good and bad. And our goal is then, as we read by Paul, to put on the mind of Christ, to be growing in that way so that God is pleased with our purpose in life, that we're moving forward, that we're obtaining what he set us here to do. So let's view a few scriptures that remind us to develop our minds, because there's many places in the Bible that relate to that. And it's important that we do this while we have life. You know, as we get older in life and our days are limited, we go, it hits us a little more, but it doesn't matter your age. If you're even, school age, you know, under 18, that we still have to use our time wisely. So let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse 2. And as we live in this world, which we all do, we have to make sure that we're not following the customs of this age, the traditions of man that are opposed to God. And we know that our Father has thought everything out. He's basically saying through the scriptures and through Christ, he's saying, let me share how I planned your life to be, how I want mankind to live and the blessings I want to give to him. And a part of that process is what Paul writes here in Romans 12 and verse 2. And we're told, "And do not be conformed to this world." So we can see how man naturally is. And God is saying, don't go that direction. Don't follow those things that are opposed to God. But he goes on to say, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So once again, that ties in with putting on the mind of Christ. And so this is a continual process, this renewing. It's not a one-time fix. I can't say, oh, last week I renewed my mind, and that's it. No, this is day by day that God is asking us to grow and become more like him. And then it goes on to say that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we all have room to grow in this, and we look at areas where we need to improve. And as we live life, we learn that only God's way works. And as we fight it, we see the results of that, the pain, the suffering that comes from it in our lives and in the world around us. And think about how stubborn we can be. We literally hold God back from blessing us. And many times we don't take the blame for that. We go, God, why aren't you doing this for me? But God is saying, live by my laws and I will bless you. And so most of us have proven that man's way doesn't work. And it's easy, though, to be pulled back into the world. We've all slipped. We've all fallen short of the grace of God. And so it's vital to use God's help that he provides. And that's why we should continue to look into the scriptures to see the encouragement to come back to his way, to pick up the pace, to run as hard as we can, and to do well. Verse 16, here in Romans 12, the same theme is mentioned, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. It's so easy as human beings to think our way is better, that we have the best idea. And God is encouraging us here to love each other just like He loved us. So that's a big level of love beyond what man is willing to do. You know, we love each other, but sometimes we want something out of it. We want to have that love returned, but God says no love no matter what. And so each one of us needs to be ready when our Lord and Master returns. And we have to ask, are we building the character? Are we allowing our minds and our hearts to develop so that we are ready at the return of Christ? I'll refer to 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 because there it refers to the type of mind that God is giving us, if we allow Him. 2 Timothy 1 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if we do not have a sound mind, then we do not have God's Spirit leading us. Or if we do have a sound mind, we do have His help. We are allowing Him to work through us. And so God's mind is imparted through His Spirit. That's how He works. And I won't turn there, but if you think about what it says in Acts 5, verse 32, God gives His Spirit to those who obey Him. So we have to show the attitude and the incentive to be willing to live by His laws, and then He will continue to renew that spirit. Please turn with me next to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. We're just touching on a few scriptures in the Bible that talk about mind and how important it is. And Paul here repeats the same warning to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1:10, but I think each of us really need to stop and think about it. Doesn't matter what age of the church you lived in. Today, this applies just as much. And listen to what Paul says here. He says, I plead with you. So we can't take this lightly. He's referring to us as brethren, as members of the body of Christ. And he says, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So do we have unity in understanding the scriptures? He says we're to speak the same thing, you know, with our beliefs, with our understanding of the truth, our doctrines, what we're willing to die for. We have to speak the same thing, and yet at times we see division, and God is inviting us to put that away, and that He wants us to be perfectly joined together. So we have room to grow in this, don't we? To really think about it and to work together in unity. So if we're at odds with our brethren, that is not God's Spirit leading us. We have to think about that. Why are we opposed or fighting things? I know we have differences of opinion, but this is talking about our basic deep beliefs that we need to have God's Spirit leading us. And I'll just refer to what it says in Ephesians 4, verse 23. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So once again, there Paul reminds us that we need to have God's Spirit renewed day by day. And when we use that Spirit, it helps us to build character, godly character. And that's what we're striving to do. And so as we look to the kingdom, we have to think about these areas that are mentioned here. Are we perfectly joined together? Are we growing in that way? It's up to us if we choose to develop the mind like Christ. And notice here, God is pleading with us through His apostles, through the scriptures, to really do better in this, to allow God's active power to work in us to improve. So we looked at a few scriptures there regarding developing our minds. Let's look at the topic of preparing our heart. And brethren, we've all had trials. We've seen difficulties through our days. And sometimes we hear of others' hardships, and we can't imagine some of the things people have gone through. I mean, even recently with loss of mates and others, you know, a child, losing a child, terrible accidents, or somebody's house burning down, whatever it might be, there's terrible circumstances that have happened. Well, let's go back to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 12 and verse 5. And we'll look at a reminder that we're given here through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 12 and verse 5. And what we're really told here is that we will not make it in this race we're running without God's help. And we know that our Father wants us to have more of his character, so we really need his direction and guidance in order to do that. So Jeremiah says here in Jeremiah 12, verse 5, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? So you think about the difference between man running and horses running. And if in the land of peace in which you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? So we can go out and run with some individuals, and maybe there's some we can run faster with. But can any of us run faster than a horse? And Jeremiah is showing us that life can get tougher and the race can be more difficult. Are we going to be able to keep up with the pace that God has invited us to run? Because the kingdom is coming, and he's asking us to be ready, to be willing to lay down our life, to put on the mind of Christ, and to grow more than we've ever grown before. And this is what he's asking us to do. And so if we aren't preparing for the tough races ahead, then our heart will not be ready for all that is coming. And God has given us time. As we sit here today, this next week, this next month, what will we do to get ready for the kingdom? Because we know it's coming. Now, in the United States, there's three well-known horse races. So we talked about horses here, Jeremiah did. And so those races are the Preakness, the Belmont Stakes, and the Kentucky Derby. And most of us are a little bit acquainted with that. And so back in 1973, I'll just refer to a famous horse, Secretariat. It was a thoroughbred that he won the Triple Crown. He won all three of those races in the same year. An amazing feat. You know, just to win one of them would be great. But to win all three, and he set records in all three of them. So not only ran it and won it, but the best time ever. And so his victory at the Belmont Stakes, it was reported afterwards that he won by 31 lengths. It was one of the greatest races by a horse ever run. And so Jeremiah asks us, are we ready to run with the horses? Will we even make it to the finals to be in that final race? We have to think about how we're running in life, how we're doing. You know, I'll mention a few parallels with the horse Secretariat and our race that we've been asked to run. Because there's some parallels there that we need to think about in how we're living, walking, running in life to walk God's way. And so my first point is we were designed to win. Now, when you think about that, Secretariat's parents were of good stock. You know, they breed those horses to have the best conditions, whether it be length of legs or stamina or whatever. They do that. But if you take that to a spiritual level, we have a greater advantage than any horse. We are being trained and bred by God, so to speak, to get ready for the kingdom. Let's just look at a scripture regarding that in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. Hebrews 2 and verse 10. And as you're turning there, think about what it says back in Genesis, the first chapter, about verse 26, where it says, we were made in the likeness and the image of God. That is a beautiful thing. So just like our loving parent, he has created us to be like him, and his purpose for us is to be in his family. So we were designed to win this race that we're running. Hebrews 2 and verse 10 says, for it was fitting for him, for Christ, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. That right there encapsulates our whole purpose for life. That is why man was created. That is our whole purpose. That's where we should be looking to and working towards. And it says, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Christ did all that on our behalf so that all the people on earth eventually, God's potential children, could have the opportunity to be in his family. So we were created to win our race, the race we're running, to be in the family of God. And there's two items that show God's desire for all of us to be his children. One of them is a clean heart. God wants each one of us to have a clean heart, and he provided a way for us to do that, because we all, as Jeremiah says, you know, our hearts are desperately wicked. So he provides a way through the death and sacrifice of his son to clean us up, to take away all the filth. So he wants that, and he knows we'll mess up, so he provided a perfect way for that to be taken care of. The second item that shows his desire for being his children is that he has made his spirit available to us. His very power, his essence is given to us so that we can prepare our hearts and our minds. And so God revealed to David, to King David, and he recorded for us in Psalm 51, David says in Psalm 51, verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart." So there's the part of God cleaning us up and washing us thoroughly. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." There's the second element. God is willing to do that for us on a daily basis. He designed all of mankind so that we can become his children. And yet our part in that is to invite God into our lives to allow him to do the work that he desires to do. So a necessary step in preparing our hearts is to ask God on a regular basis, you know, "Please clean me up. Please renew your spirit so that we can grow and develop, so that we can win the race that we were designed to win." Let's look at a second point. Point number two, every race takes effort. Now, if we've run any physical races in life, whether short or long distance, it takes training, doesn't it? To do your best anyway. And so even if we're gifted in running, training is still important. You know, there's some natural born runners that do very well in certain athletic events, and yet they still go out and train. And that helps them to improve and do better. And that's what God is inviting us to do, to make the effort to do better than what maybe even comes naturally. Let's go back to Ezra chapter 7 to look at a scripture under this point. Ezra 7 and verse 6. You know, we have the example of Ezra. And for those of us that have read that, we see, you know, some people have really set a good example that we can take to heart at this time and learn from. Ezra 7 and verse 6. It says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." So, brethren, this is what we should do. Prepare our hearts. Verse 10, here in Ezra 7, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances." Well, that was verse 10. Let me read verse 6 here. "For this Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him." And so he goes forth and God uses him, but look at his part. He was willing to prepare what God had given him. Willing to grow, and then on top of that, to teach it. So that's what we should be doing, to seek it as he did, which means to meditate on it, to study it, and then to do it as it says he did, which means we're to live by it, and then to teach it. So we need to be willing to share that with others. So part of that is even teaching our children, helping them to understand. Let's go next to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 4. Proverbs 4 and verse 4. Here it says, "He also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live.'" So life is not about how many mistakes we've made in the past. It's about going forward and improving, about enduring. It's about this race we've been asked to run and whether we stay positive and continue to do it. Verse 21 here in Proverbs 4. Let's read that next. It says, "Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." So these laws, these commands, all these principles that God gives us, we're not to lose that. We're not to let it go out of our sight. God says he wants us to treasure it, to hold on to it. I'll just refer to Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. There it says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Brethren, once again, I think we've all coasted at times. We've all let down. But God is inviting us to pick up the pace, to do better in our run by developing our minds, by developing our hearts. But it takes godly character. And the more we put in, the more we'll get out of this. And God is there right by our side to help us, to aid us. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we searching for God with all of our heart? And if not, why? Because God is willing to assist us in that. He's willing to stand by our side. Verse 23 here in Proverbs 4, it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." So there's a lot of trials that we bring on ourselves in life. And God is asking us to learn from that. And just as Ezra was used by God, why? Because he let him lead him. We need to allow God to prepare us and to lead us. And we know our race isn't easy. We're told the road is difficult. You know, so we've all seen that in life. But God is inviting us to be diligent and to look to God by following his laws, by preparing to teach. And with that, he's preparing us for his kingdom. Let's look at a third point. Point number three, go the distance. When we think back about that horse Secretariat, the stamina he had, the endurance. And we know that many horses start out strong in a race, but it's, you know, in a horse race, it's those who win. But in our life, you know, many Christians start out strong, but we have to continue to run our race. And that's why God encourages us in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. He says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. At times, we don't always do that. In our Bible study, in our fellowship, in our serving, whatever it might be, we have to pick up the pace. And the reason is, as it tells us there in Ecclesiastes, is the reason we have to do that with our might is because once we go to the grave, we don't grow anymore. We don't mature anymore. We don't develop. And so now is our time to get ready. Turn with me next back to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. Hebrews 10 and verse 36. So as Christians, brethren, we've been offered a great gift by God. I think we all recognize that. It's a gift of salvation, and we know that endurance is absolutely necessary. So let's notice here, Hebrews 10, verse 36, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." So if we're not careful, we can drift away, as we read earlier in Hebrews in our Bible study, that we can let down. It goes on to say, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry." So we believe that, don't we? That God and his kingdom is coming. That the Father will send his Son back. It says in verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are of those who draw back to perdition." I should say, we are not of those who draw back to perdition. So the word perdition, in the dictionary it meant eternal damnation or utter destruction. It's not a good state, because it goes on to say, "But we are those who believe to the saving of the soul." So we don't want to lose out on eternal life. We don't want to be destroyed in the lake of fire, but we're being invited to grow and develop. And so the author here is talking about endurance, that we don't let down so that we can receive that promise. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2. Just a few scriptures here of the many that are listed in the Bible regarding the importance to develop our hearts. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2. So here God is reminding Israel, and he says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." So this life, this calling that we've been given, is for God to see what's in our heart, whether we're really going to keep with it, whether we're going to endure in it, whether we're going to give up on our race or not. So we need to consider that. And the decisions we make decide what character we're building. And we must not worry about the items we can't control. You know, we can't control how people drive on the road around us. You know, they cut us off and they do this and fly by us 30 miles over the speed limit. We cannot control certain things. But we have to handle how we respond to those items. That's what we can control, our heart, our minds. And so when we think about how physical Israel did poorly, and yet one day they will be raised up and given an opportunity with God's Spirit to grow and develop. But we can learn from the poor mistakes that they made. And we're told now that judgment is upon the house of God. So on each of us here, God is saying, this is your time. This is your race. How are you going to do? Are you going to use my spirit? Are you going to grow and develop? And we're reminded in Matthew 24 there, those who endure to the end shall be saved. So we cannot stop our race. We have to keep fighting. We have to keep pushing forward. And so we must never give up. We must never grow weary. God is asking us to go the distance. Let's look at one final point, and that is God is the ultimate provider. You know, in the race we run, it's only possible because of what God does for us. And I'll just mention that after Secretariat's death, they did an autopsy on this horse. And they wanted to see what was different about this horse, the way he ran. And what they noticed was the normal size of a horse's heart is between 8 and 10 pounds, which is pretty big heart there. But Secretariat's heart, after they weighed it, was close to 22 pounds. I mean, huge. You know, let's say the horse's normal heart was on the big side and was up to 10 or 12 pounds, but his was 22. And so God is willing to develop our hearts. He's willing to help us in doing that. He does most of the work, but we have a part to play in that. Are we allowing him to do that? Let's turn back to Hebrews 8 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. And here we're asked the question, you know, do we allow God to do his great work in us? Because he's willing to do so much for us. Hebrews 8, verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So God is willing to do the writing, to etch it into us. And to like stamp in that character if we have done our part in building it. And yet without God's intervention, we can't make it on our own. Let me just mention what Matthew Henry comments towards this verse. He said, God once wrote his laws to his people. Now he will write his laws in them. He will give them understanding to know and to believe his laws. He will give them memories to retain them. He will give them hearts to love them, courage to profess them, and power to put them into practice. So I thought that was well put. God is asking us to do a small part in this gift of salvation that he wants to offer us. And we have to think about that. It's only through his power that we can properly develop both our hearts and our minds. I'll just refer to Deuteronomy 5 and verse 29. It says, oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. From this we see that God wants to bless us. He wants to give us eternal life. He wants for us to have happy lives. Turn with me back to Psalm 119 and verse 32. Psalm 119, verse 32. Now, in the medical field today, if you hear the term enlarged heart, that's a negative term. You know, there's something wrong with the heart. But from God's aspect, he looks at this differently. Psalm 119, verse 32. It says, I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Do we invite God to do this in a positive way, to increase our heart and the stamina, the endurance that he wants to give us? And so this isn't negative. Why? Because God is doing this. God doesn't do anything negative. He wants to enlarge our heart in the sense that we build his character. We become more like him. We put on the mind of Christ. And we know that we're God's creation. He sets the standard for the character he's asking us to grow in. And he reveals what that is, and he helps us to do it. So God does so much for us, just as we do for our children. Think of God as a master potter. Do we allow him to enlarge our heart, to help us to develop and grow in getting ready for the kingdom? Because he is shaping us. He is molding each one of us if we allow him to. And it does take time, so we can't waste time. And yet we have the tendency to do that, don't we? We must ask God to create in us a clean heart. So in conclusion today, I'll just mention after the sermon, after the services are over, if you have a minute, I've got a 2-minute, roughly, video clip of a race that, and I want you to think about that race in the sense that we as Christians are running a race, and we want to put our whole heart into it. We want to do well so that God is saying, yes, my sons, my daughters, you are making the effort. You're doing your part. And so just watch it with that idea. It's a horse race that I found online, but we'll watch that after services. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24 in closing. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. You know, God told Samuel, he says, for the Lord does not see as man sees, for the man looks at the outward appearance. But then we're told that God looks at the heart. That's what he wants to see in each one of us, whether we're building his character, whether we're developing. Let's notice what Paul wrote here in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. So are we doing that? As we inspect our lives, as we look at what we do day by day, which makes up our week and then builds into a month and then a year, are we developing so we're preparing for the race that we've been called to run? The kingdom of God, as children of the Most High, this is what God is asking us to run for. Verse 25, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. So he's talking about the physical races we run. That's just for some crown, some prize, some trophy. But then he goes on to say, but we for an imperishable crown. That is what God is inviting us to do. We're offered this gift of salvation, but to receive it, we must put effort into it. We must continue to search, to prepare, and to establish our hearts. That's what God is asking us to prepare for. And we can't cover up what's in our hearts. That's why we ask God, search me, test me, reveal who I really am so I can see what I need to change. Because we hide that from ourselves quite easily. And so it was a compliment when God spoke of King David. He says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Now, we know David had sins, so it gives us a little hope, doesn't it? He made mistakes, but he got back up and he sought God. He ran his race. And so God said that of him. And so are we willing to say, no, it's not my will, God, but your will, and to give in to those areas that we've been resisting, that God says to do? We need to be humble in that sense. And so I think all of us would agree to several things. One, the kingdom is coming. I think every one of us believes that. It is on the horizon. It's approaching. Secondly, we believe it's getting closer. I mean, every day, it's a day closer. But we also agree that it's important to prepare for that kingdom. So we must be doing things while we have the chance. Doesn't matter your age, no matter our health, God is inviting us to really step it up and to really think about whether we're developing as we should. Because God has his eyes on us. We're his children. When we watch our little ones, we know where they're going and what they're doing. We try to keep them from getting hurt, etc. But God, as a perfect parent, he allows us to do things, but he has his eyes on us, and he's willing to help us. He's willing to mold us and shape us. And so he's eager to give us the crown of life, but he says we have to run. We have to endure to the end. We have to cross that finish line, and we need to be developing in the days we have left in life. And so we have to have a desire to seek that kingdom and to hunger and thirst after God's righteousness, because that's what he's going to give us for eternity. If we really don't want it, why would he give us that way of life if we truly don't want to live by God's holy laws? He won't do that. And so we're encouraged throughout the scriptures as children to continue to run as God has invited us to do, to really think about how we can do better, how we can improve. And so let's remember there's no better time than now to prepare our hearts and our minds.